And, yeah, Schefter would be another individual that Jeff Passan, who was on these airways
sure.
earlier.
Yeah.
I think those are the three wise men if when it comes to sports.
I love it. Yeah.
Right?
Oh, without question.
And Shams is coming for him. I mean, Shams is he's like the –
he's the upstart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the up-and-coming. Yeah. Like the heir apparent.
He's the Todd McShay to his Mel Kiper Jr.
Ooh, I like that. Look what this guy's
you
talking about.
You do like that, don't you?
Yeah, I did. That tickled me.
His Steve Young to his Joe Montana.
All right, fair enough. All right, so according to Woj – Kevin Durant is, quote, soul-searching ahead of free agency. Okay,
What does that even mean?
Well, hold on. I'm going to advance this. But isn't KD perpetually in a state of soul-searching?
Aren't we all?
Right. I mean, we're just trying to figure out. No, you know what? I'm just sitting here. I got it in a neutral right now. I'm not contemplating anything. I'm just, ignorance is bliss. I'm not thinking about anything right now, right?
I mean, when I lay my head down to sleep, you know, whether you believe in God or a higher power or whatever it is that you believe in, you're always like, thinking and searching and hoping for good luck to happen to you and your family. And, you know, what do I have to do to get better good luck and things like that? Like, to me, I'm soul searching on an hourly, daily basis. No?
Yeah. No, I pretty much hit my head on the pillow and say, damn, I hope I wake up tomorrow, you know? Because it'd probably be a couple days before they found me, you know
yes.
what I'm saying? And then, like, who's going to feed Nuck? Like, it could be bad. You know, if I don't show up for work, do me a favor and have somebody come check at the house. Because I live by myself, so it might take a few days. So
yeah,
that's what I worry about.
You're going to have to get that Nest security system, all right?
And checking
Nux,
on me.
You're yeah. going to have to sync up the Google Home to Nux Bark so that it knows. It's like, hey, Google, roof, roof. You know what I mean?
Well,
and then
all,
he could basically call the authorities.
Everybody knows Nux doesn't bark. So from Woj, not only is KD, quote, soul searching, as we all are wont to do on the regular, according to Woj, Butch, he's narrowed his options down to three teams.
Who are these three teams?
Well, good news. One of them is, in fact, the Golden State Warriors.
We got a rose.
So yeah, exactly.
We're going to the next round.
That's it. You're moving on. You're in the finals.
All
now
right.
It's a three-headed finals.
Or are we giving out clocks like Flava Flav?
Dude, why not?
Or bandanas.
Pumpkin,
like...
See if Pumpkin can stay around. Remember?
Yes.
Dude, that show was so good. I got hooked on that. My sister and I, we watched it together.
Flavor
Flav? Oh, yeah. Flavor of Love.
One of the greatest shows of all time.
It got me.
It got all of us.
95795, your favorite character from Flavor of
I
Love.
I like New York.
Yeah, New York.
I mean,
she her thing, but yeah. I was a pumpkin guy, you know? And then Hoops was the one that won, right?
Hoops was, and I think she had a little side thing with Shaq for a minute. You
yeah.
know, you want to go full circle on sports.
Yeah.
The Bret Michaels one was like a train wreck. The Brigitte Nielsen and Flava Flav connection, that one I was totally in on, but the Bret Michaels one, like, I just felt bad for Bret Michaels.
Yeah.
Right?
Poison Bret Michaels. Yeah, he's weird. All right, people are saying, yo, give me the breaking news on the text line. I got you, dude.
Right.
I got
the
you.
Warriors got a rose.
It's
they're advancing to the next round with Kevin Durant.
Hey, bro, have you listened to the show? Like, we, you know, we tend to banter a little bit. And I'm still in the opening segment. I'm still good.
And Daisy, we're getting texts that Daisy was pretty good.
All right.
I'll give you that. I see your Daisy, but I'm going to raise you up in New York. She was about that action.
Dude, I'm telling you, Pumpkin Bro for the win, FTW. all right. So the other two teams involved. But seriously, though, the clocks were nice. You know what I mean? And, like, you know, that big moment where it's like, you know, you stay in, girl, and then Flavor gets so excited. And go, Flavor, Flav. But then he ended up with Brigitte Neal. Nielsen.
Yeah, that was an odd pairing. And
right?
She was so tall, he was so short.
Yeah.
Obviously, there was other differences between the two
yeah.
of them.
Yeah, we mentioned Hoops, Lucas. Thanks for listening. Yeah, we got down on some Hoops. That
yeah.
was, and then Hoops ended up making, yeah, dating Shaq, but Hoops was the winner. It didn't work out, though. Everybody felt like he should have rolled with New York. She was the one that was like, see, New York would have helped Flavor Flav get rid of a body.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, she was down.
Yes, she was.
She was down to ride for him.
All right, so the Butcher Shop has now given one meat cleaver to the Golden State Warriors, if I'm Kevin Durant. And where are the other two going?
Speaking of New York from the show.
What?
The New York Knicks are one of the teams. So there you go.
Why?
Yeah. So,
why?
And we'll get into that. And then the third team, the New Jersey Nets. So both teams back east, both perpetually, you know, also ran trash-ass franchises. At least the Nets showed some progress last year. But I can't fathom, and this is the question that I really have for you at 888-957-9570. How could you ever fathom going to play for the Knicks or the Nets if you were Kevin Durant? How could you do it?
I want to sit here and make an argument for him, like, other than, like, it's the basketball mecca, the same regurgitated narrative that is spewed by all of the East Coast New York-centric media. Like, oh, the Knicks matter. No, they literally have not mattered my entire life. Like, no, they do not matter. The league has been healthy when they have been at their lowest. It's not the mecca. Maybe Rucker Park is for 2 weeks out of the summer, but it is not the mecca of basketball that everyone claims it to be.
Agreed.
In fact, I would say Boston and L.A. are significantly more the meccas when it comes to NBA fans and just general interest across the country. Oracle as well. But they don't have – this is what I'll say about Oracle. The Warriors, they're the flavor of the month. Let's see how the fan base is around the country 10 years from now. Because everybody was a Bulls fan for a long time. You can't find a Bulls fan now except for people like yourself that are just Chicago fans in general.
Right, and I'll stick with my team. I'm not going to be – because, see, the best part about being a fan when your team's garbage, when they rise back up. I've gotten to sit front row the last 5 years and watch true Warriors fans like yourself included, who were in the darkest pit of despair, have their moment in the sun. And I say, you know what? I'll be back there someday. It might take the Bulls 10 years, 20 years, but I'd also never come on these airwaves and fake the funk, Butch. Like, oh, I'm some Dubs fan? No, I live in the East Bay. I enjoy watching the Warriors play, but I would never fake the funk and say, oh, I'm a hardcore Dub Nation all the way. No chance.
Yeah, I just, all right, when we get back on the other side, I want to break down, because I'm curious what the fans think. What is the right move for the Golden State Warriors with Durant? Do you want him to take a one-year deal, and then maybe he opts out next year and maybe re-sign him? Do you want to give him the Supermax? Do you want him to sign a 2 or 3 year deal? Do you want him to just leave? Like, what do Warrior fans want? I want to hear from him, because
I like that.
I've been hearing from a lot of different of my buddies, and I would say that the answers I'm hearing are all over the spectrum. So I'm curious. I want to get some consensus from Warriors fans. What do you want Kevin Durant to do? What do you want the Warriors to do? And obviously, let's talk a little draft. You know, like, what is the ideal situation for the Warriors tomorrow in the draft? I think you had a great question.
Yeah, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But let's get on this KD thing for a hot second. Basically, according to Woj, all three teams are believed to be prepared to offer KD a full max contract despite the torn Achilles, despite the season of rehab coming up. So what do you want to see happen with Kevin Durant as it applies to the Golden State Warriors? Do you want him to keep him? What do you want to do? 888-957-9570. Chilton Autobody text line 95795. According to Woj, KD has narrowed it down to the Warriors, the Knicks, and the Nets. We'll get into all that and more coming up. 888-957-9570. Butcher Shop open for business.
The Butcher Shop continues on 95.7 The Game. Here's Ryan Covey and the Butcher Boy, Joe Shasky.
Yeah, Butcher Shop, doors wide open. It's a Wednesday. If you're just joining us, Woj on the ESPN draft show earlier said Kevin Durant reportedly soul-searching ahead of free agency, but he has narrowed his options down to three teams in free agency. Of course, he could return to the Golden State Warriors. That is one of the teams, the New York Knicks, and the New Jersey Nets. That's where we're at. All three teams are believed to be prepared to offer KD a full max contract despite the torn Achilles. Now, we know the Warriors can offer an extra year, more money. And keep in mind, if you are one of these other teams, Butch, the Knicks or the Nets, you're really getting Kevin Durant for 3 years, but that's what a valuable commodity he is, despite the torn Achilles, despite the full season of rehab ahead of him. These other two teams, the Knicks and the Nets, who are so desperate for some star power, are reportedly willing to do that.
So if we were to just, again, none of us are doctors, I'm not pretending to be, but if you were to give a over-under as far as the percentage of Kevin Durant that you're going to get back, not in the first year, but just over the course of a 4 or 5 year deal, depending on if he leaves or if he goes, what do you think that number is? 70% the player he was? 80%? 90%? Where would you put that number?
Yeah, I'd say about there. Yeah, about 80%, something like that.
So let's say that he's 80% that the player he was prior to the injury. He's still better than, like, 95% of the league, right? So for me, as a Warrior fan, I want him to sign the Supermax. That's what I would like him to do. Now, if he wants to take the one-year opt-in and rehab on our dollar and then bounce, you know, it's hard for me to argue with him. Would it suck? Yeah, it would suck. But the dude did expose himself, and he laid his body on the line for the organization. So at some level, I do feel, not that he's owed it, but that's the compensation package. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and the guy laid it on the line. Like, he came back in the finals, and look, we saw, even when he came back before he got hurt, he was dominant. And think about where he was at, Butch, like in the Clippers series and into that Houston series before the injury occurred. We were talking about Kevin Durant painting his masterpiece ahead of free agency. And you're like, in what world would you ever fathom not offering this guy a supermax? And, you know, based on all the factors at play, something that we can't lose in all this, Joe, is based on where the Warriors are at contractually with other players, they're still basically in the same place as far as the luxury tax and being over the salary cap, whether KD stays or goes. Really, it's just about paying the luxury tax. And it's not my money. It's not your money. So it's basically the options are you either have Kevin Durant or you don't. I mean, because you're basically going to be the same team. You can't replace him, is my point. You can't spend that money elsewhere. So, hell yeah, you want him back.
You do. But again, we don't know what the financial situation is for the Warriors. Like
I do. Joe Lacob's filthy rich.
Okay. Just because you're filthy rich doesn't mean that is the sound business model for the organization. Like, I want them to do it, but I don't know what the heck is in their coffers. I don't know. I don't know how much money they're going to generate in this new arena.
Like, I do a lot.
Well, even if they do a lot, they got a lot of bills. That's all I'm saying is we don't know. And I think
they're not building that, Butch, if they're not planning on getting paid.
You ever heard of Keith the Sneak's album? Copium, counting other people's money. That's not what I like to do. I don't like to count other people's money.
It's not counting their money. It's the score. It's where we're at.
I know, but I just think it's very difficult to forecast exactly how much they can afford and what they can't. If Kevin Durant wants to stay here, hell yeah, I'm giving him the Supermax, and I'm signing him up. Because even a diminished Kevin Durant, 70, 80, 90%. Hell, I'll take 60 or 50%. He's better than 95% of the league. Like, he's an all-time great. He's going to evolve over time. He may not be the same explosive player where he can just rise up over anyone, but he's still super long, and I guarantee you he can add nuance to his post game that would make him a really good player in this league, even at that particular price point.
Yeah, and he was never, while he's obviously a dominant player, he was never like a particularly explosive player, if that makes sense. I mean, he's just long and athletic, and a lot of the attributes that make Kevin Durant great, rupturing your Achilles is going to hinder those somewhat, but it's not like the deal breaker that it is for a guy like Boogie Cousins, somebody like that.
John Wall.
Yeah, who
has
Wall,
to play 150%.
Like if Steph Curry, God forbid, ruptured his Achilles tendon, like that could be a total game changer. KD's got that long stride. I mean, the thing that you love watching KD, it's like three dribbles and he's from one free throw line to the other. I mean, it's like watching a gazelle running out on the open plains. I mean, it's incredible.
But the one nuance that he has that none of the other big men have ever had, as far as the shooting big men, is he has that crossover where he can cross you over and step back or cross you over and go right by you. Like, that is a lethal move that he has rolling. And he also has the pull-up where he comes down and you don't know if he's going to go left, right, cross you up, or if he's just going to step back and rise up over you, because that's what he did twice against LeBron in his face in the finals.
All up in his face.
I loved it. I loved every minute of it. So I'm willing to bank on all-time great players. Players, even if they aren't 100% going to be the same player they were, I still think there's enough player there and enough of his attributes that translate well post-surgery. I'm willing to roll the dice on it.
All right. A lot of people checking in on the Chilton Autobody text line. We appreciate that. Okay, sorry. 510 Brooklyn Nets, not the New Jersey Nets. People getting up in arms.
Did you say that?
Yeah, I had the audacity to say that. You know, they were only the New Jersey Nets for like 50 years. But yeah, you're right. The Brooklyn Nets. I'm so sorry. All right, a lot of people checking in as well. I want to get to a couple of texts, and we'll get out to the phones in a hot second. I really like this one from the 510. Pre-Achilles injury, re-signing him to a max deal was a no-brainer. It's a little bit more complicated now because we don't know what he's going to look like in a year. Probably still a great basketball player, but will he be worth a super max deal?
I think he is. I think he is. I think he's definitely worth. If he's not, look at man. Do you see who's out there trying to get maximum deals?
It's fair.
Like, okay, you taking 100% on Harrison Barnes or 40% of Kevin Durant? Give me 40% of Kevin Durant all day. Like, and I know he's going to be better than 40%. I'm just saying, like, for the sake of argument, it's about value. So yes. Or is every player that's out on the market, are they getting their proper value? Like, do you want to pay for John Wall's he's getting a Supermax right now. That's what he's signed up for the last couple of years. Do you want his money or you want Kevin Durant's money?
Right.
Give me Kevin Durant's money.
All damn day.
You want
day.
Harrison Barnes' money, even if he doesn't get the Supermax? I don't care.
$30 million for Harrison Barnes?
Yeah.
He might not even be the third or fourth best player on any team in the league.
No route, no doubt. All
right. So I don't know. I'm rolling with Durant. He's an all-time great. I love what he brings to the table. I'm willing to, it's a risk. I'm not saying it's not a risk, but the reward, I think, outweighs the risk.
Yeah, and I just can't fathom why Kevin Durant would want to go play for the Brooklyn Nets or the New York Knicks. I can't fathom it. Why would he want to go there?
Okay, so let's I'm not saying these are great reasons, but I'm trying to come up with them. Again, the media loves, in the East Coast media, they're all based out of those New York offices. They love to talk about the Knicks because that's their local squad that they want to be relevant. They're sick
they're
and
desperate.
More than desperate,
desperate for the Knicks to be good.
It's unbelievable. It's absolutely crazy to me. And then on top of that, There is a destination factor for the city of New York as a whole. We see it with the Yankees, we see it with the New York Giants, or even the Jets. Like, the Jets get a disproportionate amount of coverage because the media is there and because they're the New York Jets.
It's the Big Apple.
If they were the Jacksonville Jets, we'd never talk about
it.
You're right.
Yeah, it's the media.
And it's the same thing there. Now, there are no basketball reasons to go there other than you want to have your own team and pull maybe a LeBron James where you could come into power when it comes to having your run of the mill. Like, James Dolan's in such a terrible position. If KD came in and was like, yo, Rich Kleiman is going to be, you know, advisor to the GM. My boys are going to fly on the airplane with us. Like, whatever he wants. I don't think he's going to pull those things. I'm just saying, NBA players have more power than any other athlete in any other sport.
Yeah, he would have total autonomy.
100%. So, and here's the other thing. If he wants to pair up with someone, maybe he just wants to play with Kyrie. Maybe he wants to play with Jimmy Butler. I don't know. Maybe there's a love interest over there. Like, we don't know. Maybe there's business opportunities that we don't know about. I know he opened the business, you know, location there. So, I'm just trying to make the argument for New York. But as far as basketball and on court and his longevity and his statistics, that is not a winning situation for him.
Not even close. I think the Nets are a better situation than the Knicks if you're talking about going and winning basketball games in 2019-2020.
I agree with you. I agree with you there. But, like, even if he goes to the Nets, are they a top three team in the East?
Maybe. Well, if you had if Kevin Durant was healthy next year, I think they could maybe make a run at that with Caris LeVert and Hollis Jefferson. I mean, they got some decent players there.
Your boy Dinwiddie.
Spencer Dinwiddie. That was the name that was escaping me.
But like, honestly, like, they're not beating Toronto. If Toronto rolls it back, I don't see them beating Toronto. I don't see them beating Milwaukee.
What's the point of, like, ever putting a team together then? If you can't beat Toronto this year, then, well, let's just not bring anybody in. That's not the way you do business. You got to try and build a team to compete.
I understand that. But from Kevin Durant's perspective, he's not just going to waste the precious years he has left in the NBA, especially since he had this particular injury. Why would you go into a situation that's such an uphill battle?
I couldn't fathom. All right, a lot of people want to talk. Aaron in Fremont, start us off. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, right on. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep, fire away, man.
I definitely think the Nets are a way to go for KD. I kind of feel like KD's in this kind of Kobe mood where he wants to prove he could do it himself, right? Like when Shaq left and, well, he hooked up with D-Wade, but he did it, right? And that was, like, the best championship that he won for him that meant the most. So I could see KD going to the Nets also, not just in New York media, but also just knowing that he can be the focus. There's no one else there. I mean, like, it's not going to be D'Lo, right? No one's, like,
sure.
Writing
I got you.
Columns about D'Angelo Russell, right?
Okay.
And I also think that KD should not stay with the Warriors. Reason being is, not only going to be second fiddle, but he's also going to be a part of...
Second fiddle? What are we talking about?
Thanks, Aaron.
He was the lead dog in the Clippers series. He was dominant. Like, what are we talking... Second fiddle? He won two finals MVPs! Who was he second fiddle to? It's not like he didn't get his disproportionate amount of coverage. Like, the guy was a headliner across every single platform across the country. There is an entire, like, subscription-based online service that writes articles about him 24/7. He is getting everything he wants, all the attention. He's getting similar money, and he's getting up more shots at more efficient rates than any point in his career. He's not second fiddle to anything.
I'm worried about you keeling over right now.
Because I'm so sick of hearing that stupid argument. He's second fiddle. He's the second fiddle.
All right. Let's go to Steve in Danville. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, guys, I'm like the ultimate optimist, so I'm going to tell you the Warriors fan side of this story. So first of all, we have to keep KD. You guys said a lot of things. He gave his heart and soul in that game six. We were one shot away from winning that and one game away from another title. He's done too much for this team to let him go. Number two, there's a new arena opening up, and the owners want to be able to parade KD and Clay out there and Steph. Now, KD and Clay, obviously, are going to be hurt for a little while. But let's say, again, I'm the ultimate optimist. Best case, they can come back in April or May and start practicing and start playing. Warriors get into the playoffs. Somehow, some way, they get in. These guys come back. They play in the playoffs. We win another championship. Opening season of Chase Center. That's what's going to happen, guys.
All right. We shall see. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Steve.
I sure as hell hope so. I mean, I really do. But again, like, the basketball reasons are there. I don't want to hear this argument that, like, oh, he could score more points. He's averaging 29 a game. What is he? He's 31? He has to get 31 a game?
Well, and think about this, too. Kevin Durant coming off of an Achilles injury to a new team that's just paid him, you know, a max contract, and he's already sat on the sidelines for a year. When 2020, 2021
exactly.
gets underway, they're going to be like, yo, KD, you got to give us like 45 minutes a night. You got to be the savior. You got to carry the load every single night. You're going to put up 30 shots a game. You think that's not going to catch up to a guy that's just coming off of a ruptured Achilles tendon? I mean, at least in Golden State, you can spread out that burden, and you can take a night off here or there, and it's not catastrophic to the success or failures of the team. It's just a little load management, baby.
There was an article that he had basically come out and said that he could see him, this was a couple years ago, he could see himself, Kevin Durant, retiring by the age of 35. Do we not all remember that?
I know
his opinions change, and sometimes he blows like the wind. When he made the decision to come to the Warriors, he said he woke up that morning on the 4th of July, and it just popped in his head. So who knows if he was just saying something for the time being. But let's take it on face value that he wants to maybe call his career short at 35, 36 years old. Why the hell would he waste a couple years in his prime when he's already losing a year of his prime because of this particular Achilles injury? Like, that makes no sense to me whatsoever. From a business standpoint, from a winning basketball standpoint, from a usage rate standpoint, like, if anything, this injury should be a massive eye-opener into the fragility of an NBA career.
All right, it could be over in a heartbeat, no
doubt. Absolutely.
888-957-9570 is the number. What do you want to see happen with Kevin Durant? The report from Woj is KD's doing some soul-searching right now as he's rehabbing the Achilles. Right now, he's probably just sitting around, you know, letting that thing heal up from the surgery, but the rehab process will be coming. But according to Woj, he's narrowed it down to three teams: Brooklyn Nets, New York Knicks, and yes, the Golden State Warriors. What do you want to see happen? And think about this. This is just classic. We've been down this road before, which is trying to figure out what Kevin Durant is thinking. It's basically an exercise in complete futility. Like, we can't get inside this guy's head. We've been trying for years. All we can really do is sit back and appreciate the greatness and ultimately respect his decision, whatever he chooses. Because I will always maintain, Butch, if you didn't have a problem with Kevin Durant coming here as a free agent back in 2016, you can't have a problem with him leaving. Free agent means free to choose what you want to do. If he decides to leave for whatever reasons, we can speculate till the cows come home about what those reasons might be. The New York market, a business interest, wants to be the lead dog, wants to carve out his own, his own niche, you know, wants to have that part, a new chapter in his career. Whatever it may be, the reality is he earned that right as a free agent if he opts out of his deal. So you wish him well. He brought you two finals MVPs and gave his Achilles tendon to the team trying to help you win a third. Who could possibly take issue with him wanting to move on?
No, I have no issue with him if he wants to move on.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I honestly don't have an issue if he decides to take the one-year deal and then bounce in free agency. Like, look, he's entitled to things. He signed a contract. The Warriors signed it as well. It takes two to tango. It's not like anyone was, you know, putting a gun to his head to Bob Myers. Hey, you know, everybody wanted him to take the one-and-one, right? Everybody did.
Right.
They wanted to keep him here.
Let me ask you this, and actually I'm going to ask Mark Medina this, because we know that another team can only offer him a four-year deal. Well, the fifth year is what the Warriors can offer him. But what about this? He opts in to his one-year deal that he has with the Golden State Warriors, makes $31 million, only to then sign a four-year deal with another team outside of here. So basically, he gets his cake and eats it too, where he gets the five-year deal, and at that point, he would make about $195, the $31 he'd make this year, plus the $164 he could sign somewhere else. So that would be basically 5 years for $195, and he would get to go to another team at that point.
Look, the way I'm looking at this, and the way I would tell fans to look at this. If you got injured at work, you would expect your employer to compensate you, correct? He got injured at work. If they have to pay him for 1 year because he opted in, that's part of doing business.
But that's an occupational hazard, though. I mean, it's part of the deal. Like,
so's the part of him. He went out there to try to win you a championship. He exposed his career on the line, and this is part of the ramifications of that decision, unfortunately.
Yeah, I disagree. I think that's part of being a pro athlete, is that injury is a part of the game, and the reason that he was willing to put his career on the line that season is because you were paying an NBA salary that year. Like, that's the cost of doing business.
Yeah, but it wasn't just a one-year deal. He knew he had the one-and-one. Like, he could opt back in. That was part of the contract.
But no, every player understands that. Like, you're as good as the year that you're having and the contract you're being paid. And if you get hurt,
it's
over.
In the NBA, everything's guaranteed, though. In the NBA, it's guaranteed.
Well, I understand that.
If you have opt-ins and opt-outs, and you're rightfully entitled to do what you want with those.
I understand that.
He earned it.
I understand that. You're totally right. He earned if he wants to opt in for his $31 million next year, he absolutely earned that. Beyond that, the Golden State Warriors are under zero obligation because of, you know, he laid it on the line for the team. Like,
no, I get what you're saying. I'm not saying that the organization, quote unquote, owes it to him.
Right, okay.
I'm just saying that if he opts in, I'm not going to have a problem with it because he has earned the right to decide what he wants to do.
It's in his contract.
That's what I'm getting at. It's literally 100%. written in gold.
Anybody has a problem with that? Like, trying to understand, like, you know, the essence of NBA contracts and sports contracts in general. It's about leverage.
Well, and I think that my particular sweet compromise, because every negotiation, I'm looking for a compromise, right?
Sure.
You meet a little in the middle.
Right.
That way nobody feels like they've been screwed or bent over for that particular contract negotiation. Give them the 5-year Supermax. Sign up for it. Rehab. Take your time. Let's take the long road. Let's take the long approach to this thing. Let's not rush it. And we know we got you locked in. There's no rush whatsoever. You can take your time. There's some familiarity with the facility and some of the, because I know they're going to change a lot of the medical staff, but there's some familiarity there with the medical staff. And let's go back and get him in 2020, 2021.
All right. What do you want to see happen with Kevin Durant? The report from Woj, he's narrowed it down to 3 teams: Brooklyn Nets, New York Knicks, Golden State Warriors. Of course, the Warriors can offer him that 5th year, and they can offer him more money. It'd be 5 for 221 if he signed the Supermax with the Dubs, 4 for 164 if he went to the Knicks or the Nets. Back out to the phone. Let's go to Hyrone in Oakland. What's up, Hyrone? You're in the Butcher Shop. Line 1. Yeah, go ahead, man. Fire away. You're on the air. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. I would like to see the Warriors go ahead and re-sign KD, because when you think about it, it's like, who could they really replace him with? Even a 75 or 80% KD, I don't know any free agent that we could afford to bring in that would be able to do the things that he do. And then it's like, he gave it his all. I feel like he earned the right to come back. He put his career on the line for the Warriors, so I feel like they should, you know, do their due diligence and bring them back if that's what he wants to do.
All right. Thanks for the call, Hyrone. I mean, look, it's ultimately Kevin Durant's decision, period, right? All the Warriors can do is, like he said, do their due diligence, offer him the Supermax. He's going to take it or leave it. They're not going to quibble with that. He's going to take it or leave it.
Yeah, but there is the only – if he opts out, right, if he opts out, the Warriors do play a factor whether they want to give him the Supermax or not. Now, they've said to us, the media, the fans, oh, yeah, we're going to try to offer it to him.
Right.
But is this going to be like a Pablo Sandoval situation where they're like, well, here's the offer, but it's not our best offer because we kind of want you to walk away anyway? I know they're not going to do that. That's why I don't think there's anything scandalous or notorious or nefarious that they're going to do. Like, everyone's going to be dealing with their cards at face value. I think Durant's people, I think the Warriors. And you know what? This is a hard decision for Durant. I think that's at the crux of this, the soul-searching part. That's just a funny way of describing it to me. But I do think this is a ridiculously difficult decision for him.
Is it, though? Really? Like, you want to go play for the Nets or the Knicks? Or do you want to stay in the Bay and make 5 years, $221 million, and you're beloved by this fan base?
But, Ryan, I say this all the time. We don't know what motivates people on the inside. We don't know where he's happy. Like, if he's not happy with teammates, coaching, the ownership, where he's living, like, who knows? Like, again, we don't know these people personally. Anytime somebody leaves one of my places that I'm employed, like a coworker or whatever, I'm like, I can't tell that person what to do. They have to do what's best for them in their life. And I think the same thing applies for Kevin Durant.
Yeah, we're just in the business of speculating. And what else do we have to go on? We're trying to read what Kevin Durant's thinking, which, as we all realize, is an exercise in complete futility.
Yeah.
408, cut bait. No player has ever returned from this injury the same. It's a business, and he was paid handsomely. If Lacob is really Joey Lightyears, he has to take emotion out of this.
Well, first off, there is a couple of players that have come back from this injury.
What, Dominique
Wilkins, and his numbers that you've seen the video, it's been floating around the internet, his numbers were actually better when he came back. So yes, there is one player, and that was 30 years ago with less sophisticated modern medicine. Does that mean he's going to make this comeback, Kevin Durant? No, because we saw it in football with Adrian Peterson. The dude's a freak. He came back from the ACL better than ever, like Superman. And other guys that get hurt with the ACL are never the same. So everybody's body reacts different to the rehab and the injury.
No, you're right. All right, let's go to Greg in the city. Go ahead, Greg.
Okay, thank you. Yeah,
Bully ball man in the house. Let's go.
The Max deal. I think he's going to be there at the end of the year. But Durant, no. I'm not going to give him $45 million a year for a guy that so-called 80%, 20% may get injured. I mean, why can't they just give him his $31 million this year? Let's see how he rehabs. Warriors technically don't owe him anything, okay, like you were saying. Why can't they just wait and see how he rehabs in the year and see what's going on? And one other factor, they give him that big money. That kind of leaves Green out of the equation, okay? People have said that more than once. Who do you want, a healthy Green or a maybe? And don't forget these guaranteed contracts. What do you want? A Durant like that or a healthy Green signing a good max contract for the future? And, you know, I wanted that Valenzuela's guy from Memphis. I guess we can't afford him. We need some bigs in the draft or whatever. But I enjoy your show, and I'll take your take on those points. Thank you.
Look, I love Draymond Green.
I am the bully ball man.
That a boy. I love Draymond Green. We all love Draymond Green. Everybody loves Draymond Green. But take a step back, everyone. Draymond Green is not a better NBA player than Kevin Durant.
Not even close.
He's just not. I love Draymond Green. He's just not. He's nowhere near him. And if they both of them were on the open market and you knew for... Look, teams are lining up for Kevin Durant, and he's missing a year with one of the worst injuries you can have in sports, and teams are falling over themselves to give him the max.
Right.
And then there are other teams out there that are like, Draymond Green, is he worth the max? I don't know.
Right.
Like, every single team in the NBA, for the most part, is ready to just, like, if Durant said, I'm coming to you today, they're moving heaven and earth to get him, correct?
Get the parade going.
Exactly.
All right, we got to run. 888-957-9570. A lot of people checking in. We'll take some more calls. We'll talk to Mark Medina, top of the hour. Lots to get into. Kevin Durant's narrowed it down to three teams. And what do you think KD's doing right now? I never know what he's doing while he's soul-searching. Is he playing a video game, Butch? What game's he playing? What show's he binge-watching right now? The Wire? Westworld? Maybe running back The Sopranos?
What's he doing? He was looking at Drake's IG and all those golf photos that he was putting out. Because, you know, Aubrey is at the forefront of everybody in sports' attention.
All right. There you go. Well, who's like soul searching? What does that even mean? I never know what he's doing. All right. It's the Butcher Shop. Right, Covey and Joe Shasky. We'll be back.
The Butcher Shop continues on 95.7 The Game. Here's Ryan Covey and the Butcher Boy, Joe Shasky.
West Side Wednesday.
Keep your head up. He's wearing the UNLV parka. It's a classic.
Yeah.
Classic.
UNLV back in like the early to mid 90s.
Stacey Augman, yeah. Plastic Man, Larry Johnson.
Yep. I know the players.
Oh.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were the squad.
Patrick McCaw. That's what Lucas says.
Pat McCaw.
McCaw!
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You ever seen anybody rocking a Patrick McCaw UNLV jersey?
No. No.
I wonder if you could even get one.
But early 90s, everybody did rock those UNLV gear.
Course,
was that or the Miami Hurricanes?
The Running Rebs, though, with Tark, baby? Come on, man. And then Michigan, too. Everybody had the Michigan gear on.
A lot of the M. You're right. And Dookie stuff.
Hey, Lucas, can you look up and see if you can find a Patrick McCaw UNLV jersey online? Oh, he's on it. He's like, bro, I'm on it. I've been on it.
It's probably like a, you know, you ever seen those things, you know, when you're potty training your dog? You know, what are those little, like, blankets?
The little diapers?
No, the things you put down.
Oh, pee pads.
Pee pad, yeah. It's probably like the McCaw pee pads got to be out there on eBay, right?
Yeah, my disgusting neighbors use them to this very day, even though their dogs are full grown.
No, they
don't.
Good
thing it doesn't make their house smell like animal piss or anything. It's great.
God.
Yeah, it's great to live next door to. Yeah,
McCaw wins his third straight title. hitting 1 3-pointer. I mean, give me a break.
5-3-0. McCaw won himself a chip this year.
He did. He did. I can't argue that.
All right.
That's a fact.
Yep.
He's also weak, and that's a fact.
For sure. All right, Mark Medina is going to join us in just a hot second. Let's get out to the phones, finish out a couple of these calls. Jerry in Oakland, what do you want to see happen with Kevin Durant?
Well, you know, Joe made a great point, and these logical people don't understand. The injury kind of really helped the Warriors. I hate to say it that way, because if you look at Kevin Durant, the rehab he's going to have to go through, like Joe says, 1 year he's out. The second year, you really think he wants to push it? No, I don't think. The second year, a bit more of a rehab training thing. The third year is when he'd be ready to go. So if I was him, I'll sign a 5-year max deal. Because you know the third and the fourth year will be his time. He don't need to sweat it. He goes to New Jersey. He goes to New York. They're going to push him after the second year, give him 45 minutes here, 45 minutes there. It doesn't make sense financially for him. I think he will have the Boogie Cousin theory of, hey, I don't want to get hurt just, you know, after coming back. So I feel the best deal for him is take the max. Third year would be his best year for him. Let him recover the first 2 years. And you already have Clay, you got Steph. Well, you ain't to worry about. That's all I got to say.
All right, thanks, Jerry.
Well, this is the hard part. How do you project how he's going to, him specifically, how he's going to age 3 years from now, 4 years from now?
He's 34.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Like, and it's not like he played 1 year at Texas. Right? And then he went right into the NBA. He's been playing 80-something game seasons outside of the years he was hurt his entire career, like 11 straight years, plus Team USA, plus deep into the playoffs. There's a lot of wear and tear on these young guys' bodies, even though they're in their 30s. Like, by NBA standards, you might as well be 50 or 60.
Right, and let's keep in mind, too, that typically once players start suffering injuries, like, it usually doesn't get better as they get into their 30s.
Yeah.
Like, it's usually just the tip of the iceberg. And what do we know about Kevin Durant? Like, he's a hell of an athlete. He's long. He's athletic. But he's pretty frail. Like, you know, his bones are thin, right? I mean, we know that. He's not one, you know, he's not a big muscular guy. And so you look at him, you're like, he looks kind of frail.
But I would say this. One of my favorite players of all time is Jason Kidd, and his game was predicated on strength and speed, right? Like, the guy was the fastest player on the court. He was super strong for how short he was, even though he was like 6'2", whatever, 6'3".
Yeah.
When he had microfracture knee surgery, I thought it was the end of his career. He had a second chapter. Was he as dominant before? No. I'm not trying to say he was as good or as dominant, because he was a once-in-a-generation type player. But his final couple seasons in the NBA with the Dallas Mavericks, helping them win a championship, he was still a really good player. He wasn't a great player, really good player. I still think Kevin Durant can do more things because he's just physically bigger than Jason Kidd. And I'm looking at someone as a template like Dirk Nowitzki. Look how he aged. Not the last year, because the last year he could barely get off the bench.
But he played deep, man. He played deep. Like,
played
a long career.
Yeah,
in
the NBA.
Right.
And he was effective 15 years, 16 years in.
And KD's not banging down in the low
post. So
yeah, so, you know, he stays out on the perimeter a lot. He, you know, gets a lot of jump shots. He doesn't have to, you know, play that super physical game. Look, I think KD, if anybody has the ability to, you know, kind of break the trajectory of what you could expect somebody coming back from an Achilles, it would be Kevin Durant. But there's just a lot of factors at play, you know, when you consider that he's going to be another year older. You got the year of rehab. And, you know, keep in mind, too, like, for Joe Lacob and company, how attractive of a proposition is that, moving into the Chase Center saying, hey, we're going to give a guy a supermax contract that can't even help us the first year that we're there, when you culminate what happened with Clay on top of it, who they're not even going to have him, and I think we all feel like Clay is going to get offered a max contract. So that's two guys that you're on that, you know, huge money that can't help you the day that you open up that new stadium. I mean, the timing and all this just absolutely sucks. And maybe KD's sitting there thinking, bro, I don't really feel like being the fall guy for the things that ail the Golden State Warriors when they're in the Chase Center and things aren't going well. And they're like, man, KD's making all this money. He's got a supermax contract. Maybe Draymond's going to say, oh, you gave KD a supermax and now I can't get mine. And, you know, there's that cloud that could be hanging over the team. And keep in mind, Butch, there was already some bumps in the road when they were winning. Okay, so next year, they're not going to be as good as the team that we've seen the last 5 years. So if things start to get a little dicey, maybe KD's looking at that going, you know, I'm out. I just don't want to be around for potential fallout and people having angst and animosity towards me when all I'm trying to do is rehab. It's not my fault that they wanted to offer me a Supermax contract. You see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying. Whenever you make a big life decision, you weigh the pros and cons,
sure.
Right? So I bet he has gone through that scenario in his head. But don't you think the ego of the NBA superstar athlete, like we all have egos, but I'm saying when you're Kevin Durant, okay, when you're that great, don't you think that, well, I'm the great elixir. Like, I can overcome anything.
Sure. Just,
you know, I'm here because he thought when he came here, he was going to set them into championship mode year after year after year. And you know what? He did. Like, he absolutely did.
Yeah.
So I think he's playing both sides of the fence. I think he's weighing all the pros, all the cons. Let me ask you this, because you keep bringing up, the salary cap of the four stars, Steph, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green.
Yep.
We're seeing now with the Los Angeles Lakers, they only have two guys on a Supermax, Anthony Davis and LeBron James, and they're having a difficult time filling out the rest of that roster.
Right.
So if I'm Kevin Durant, I'm looking at this situation, I'm going, well, as long as Joe Lacob stays true to his word, you know, what other situation is going to have four guys this good and the owner's willing to dip into the luxury tax? Because you're seeing the Lakers, they got everything they wanted, the two Supermax guys, yet we don't know what the rest of that roster is going to look like. How is it going to be any different when you go to New York? How is it going to be any different when you go to the Nets? Like, I know they say they're going to do certain things, but the Warriors are in the unique situation to where they have bird rights on all the players they would like to keep.
Right.
Whereas in these other situations, you have to bring in new talent that goes under the cap. So you're limited by what moves you can actually make.
Does that make sense? Oh, without question. And, you know, the reality is, too, you know, I know the naysayers would be like, well, what happened? How'd that work out for them this year? They weren't able to fill out the back of the roster. Look, man, that team had them on the doorstep of four titles in 5 years, and they were in their fifth straight NBA finals. From as far as the rest of the NBA and what they're concerned, the Golden State Warriors are the template to how you win in the modern day NBA. So this notion that the Warriors need to, quote, fix something is absurd. Like, maybe they could have drafted a little better. Maybe, you know, the Yurebko free agency acquisition wasn't the best one. There could have been a better fit somewhere. But basically, they've checked a lot of boxes. And you're absolutely right. I mean, if you're KD, we know that Joe Lacob has got a willingness to spend money. He's got a motivation to spend money as they open up that new gym, and they want to try and keep this thing together. So without question, if you want to play with like fellow star players around you and an owner that's willing to actually not just talk about spending big money but actually does it, hell yeah, this is the place for you.
And I'm going to use this texter's information here from the 209. If KD plays the David West game mid-range and post, he's going to have a longer career. Dude, if I'm KD and I'm making this comeback, I am going to the elbow and I'm just going to catch the ball at the elbow and rise up over any, or just get my little turnaround. Like, that's his area to feast on.
Isn't that what he does anyway?
But that's what I'm saying. He's just going to become even more of that particular player. You don't have to drive as often. You know what I mean? He can shoot more. And even if he's just a catch and shoot player the first year back, 2 years from now, even if he's just a catch and shoot player, what other place provides you the spacing that the Golden State Warriors provide you?
Right.
Like, you're not, even if you pair up with Kyrie, even if you pair up with D'Angelo Russell, pick the player. No other combination do you have the sharpshooting of Steph and Clay to balance out the court. There's only five guys on the court. You are not finding two other elite shooters that are better than Clay and Steph to take the heat off of you. Yeah. Again, if we're looking at fundamentals in basketball, this is the place to stay.
Especially coming off of an Achilles injury, where if you're in Brooklyn or New York, you know, the double teams, the defensive firepower that teams are going to throw at you, it's half of that here in Golden State, because you got to worry about Curry. You got to worry about Draymond. Of course, this is the path of least resistance for Kevin Durant. But in a lot of ways, that's why outside of the Bay Area, why Kevin Durant has been so vilified is because it's perceived that by coming here and jumping on this ready-made, you know, championship gravy train, that he already did that, taking the path of least resistance. And for him to have his career totally validated by basketball purists, he's got to do it on his own with a team and build him from the ground up himself. Personally, I think that's absurd, because that's not really how you win in the modern-day NBA, but maybe that's also in Kevin Durant's mind as we, again, try to figure out what's going on in KD's head.
It's hard to go through what's going on in his head.
Yeah, by the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, SanFranciscoRadio.com sports station. Very pleased to be joined by our next guest, a Warriors insider. You know him, you love him, Mark Medina. Hey, Mark, let's start right here. Appreciate you coming on. Joe Shasky, Ryan Covey. Let's start here. Woj intimated earlier today that KD has narrowed it down to three teams: Golden State Warriors, Brooklyn Nets, New York Knicks. I think we kind of all knew that all along anyway. What do you make of the report? And, you know, just kind of give us your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you said it best. It's something that we had suspected for a while. It seemed like the Clippers always had an outside chance because they had carved up cap space. You know, they had been building a good team. And I know looking at that first-round matchup, I just couldn't help but think, man, like, the Clippers are really giving the Warriors a good chance, but they could really use a star scorer on their team, and then they'd be set. So Kevin would slide right in. But not surprising of those choices because it's been kind of assumed that is what it was going to come down to as we were covering this past season.
Hey, Mark, you know, Bob Myers spoke to you guys today. Were you there listening to him? I'm sure you were, right?
Oh, of course. I mean, I'm one of the beat guys. I got to be there for all 82, all practices. So, yeah, for
sure.
He's
on the ground.
So let me ask you, because I saw some quotes from Steve Kerr and I saw some quotes from him. I mean, what were some of your big takeaways as far as just the injury situation with Durant, with Clay? And we'll get to the draft in a second, but just those two particular, because I saw Steve Kerr say something to the effect of he's just really sorry about the whole thing. And I don't know if that's an admission of guilt or if he's just feeling guilty and he felt inclined to say that. But what were your takeaways from both of their comments today?
Yeah, well, I mean, to clarify and give an answer to your question that you posed, I don't think Steve Kerr was having an admission of guilt. It was more of just feeling compassionate and empathetic for what they're going through. I mean, Steve had made it clear that it's really hard to fault anyone in the organization or even Kevin because there were so many steps where you're looking at, you know, the Warriors training staff, the Warriors coaching staff, Kevin himself, Rich Kleiman, his business manager, outside medical doctors that Kevin, you know, had touched base with, and they all checked the boxes and signed off on it, and none of them had anticipated that a worst-case scenario would be an Achilles injury. But, you know, kind of tying into all what it means moving forward, you know, the vibe from Steve Kerr and Bob Myers is that, you know, they're going into this offseason having to deal with the worst-case scenario that, you know, they have to have a roster that is prepared to absorb an entire season without Kevin Durant, regardless of whether he actually comes back or not, and then Klay Thompson missing a good chunk of the season. And, you know, it's, I know the Warriors still have Steph Curry and Draymond Green, but I think when you've looked at, you know, the times that those guys have been out, the Warriors have been able to absorb an injury to one of their all-stars, but it's really been asking much whenever both all-stars have been out of any of those combinations. So it could be a pretty challenging season next year, to say the least.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, you take two all-stars off any team, they're going to struggle. Yeah. The Warriors' greatness speaks to the fact that we're still even talking about them having a puncher's chance, even without Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson. Talking to Mark Medina in the Butcher Shop, of course, our Warriors insider at the Merc on Twitter, at MarkG_Medina. We know the Dubs. I want to talk about Draymond for a minute, Mark. I think he's just such an important figure in all this. We know the Warriors can offer him 4 years, $100 million this summer for an extension. Draymond could hold out, and if he's